I want to give you a little word of explanation. I am not the pastor of this church, okay? I am the pastor's wife. Sometimes I think when I always get a little bit nervous when I fill in because I think people go, what kind of a church is that? They got a woman in the pulpit. So I want to explain myself a little bit. But Michael is not feeling well. I want y'all to continue, please, to pray for him. I said this morning in prayer time that I feel really selfish praying for him because I know that there are a lot of other people that also need healing and need praying for. But you know what? He's my husband, and I can just be selfish that I want my husband to be healed. Amen? In Jesus' name. And because I believe the Lord has really revealed it to me that this is a personal attack of the devil against God's man in this church. Because you see what happens, what's going on is that great things are happening at Dolan Baptist Church. The Spirit of God is moving. People's lives are being changed. And because Michael's at the helm of the ship, now the Father is the head, amen, but Michael is his appointed pastor. And what I see is a very strategic attack on the part of our enemy, Satan, to keep him incapacitated. Because he told me today he was hurting so bad in his back, and I said, and I was really kind of joking, you know, ladies, don't say things that you don't really want to do. I said, you know, I'll fill in for you tonight if you need to take a muscle relaxer. And he goes, okay. Golly, why did I ever say that? You know, but I've never been short of words, not a day in my life. And so it's okay to have the opportunity to share God's work. His word for me is somebody saying, like, stick him to a bulldog. We're going to look first tonight, Gary, I don't know how quick you are with the scripture part, but we're going to look just for a minute in 1 John chapter 3, and then we're going to move to the book of Mark. So if you want to get that together. But before we do that, I want to look at one of the songs that we sang tonight, and I'll just read you the words. You deserve the glory and the honor, and I lift my hands in worship. Now, I can't see from where I sit at the piano who's doing what, but it would be my prayer that if you were singing in that song, that you had your hands lifted in worship. Because we used to sing a song when we sang out of the hymnal. We sang, you know, standing on the promises, and the music minister always used to say, you can't sing standing on the promises while you're sitting on the premises. I don't know how many of y'all ever heard that before. You can't sing standing on the promises if you're sitting on the premises. So it always make everybody stand up. And I think, how can I sing? I lift my hands in worship. I lift your holy name. You deserve the glory. And we're sitting on our hands. I want us to be reminded tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that He is worthy. Amen. He is worthy. And this weekend, I spoke at a ladies' retreat, and I promise I'm going to get to where I'm going, but I just feel kind of compelled to share this with you. I spoke at a ladies' retreat, and I spoke in Spanish all weekend long, and I was so happy to get home last night, and I was not worth a plug nickel because it took so much energy for me to concentrate all the time and speak in Spanish all weekend. But one of the things that we talked about this weekend was when Isaiah saw the Lord, amen, in the year that King Uzziah died, also I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robes filled the temple, and above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth, the whole earth, is full of His glory. Okay? And then we went to Revelation, and we read basically the same scripture. It's what John saw when heaven was open to him. And guess what? What John saw in Revelation was the same thing that Isaiah saw in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. You guys, the same thing is going on in heaven today. It was going on then. And guess what they're saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they are crying out, glory, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the earth. And here's the deal. This was the point of this is the moral of that story. It doesn't matter if we lift our hands in worship. It doesn't matter if we tell God that He's worthy. It doesn't matter if we tell God that He's holy, because, ladies and gentlemen, He is still worthy. He is still holy, whether we confess it or not. But confession is for us. You ever heard it said, confession is good for the soul? Well, all kind of confession is good for the soul. It's not just the confession of our sin, amen. It is our lips that profess Him as holy. It is our lips that profess Him as worthy. It is our lips that say that He is the God of all creation. God Almighty, Todo Poderoso, right? Yolanda, my Spanish-speaking friend out there, she can say amen to that. See, in English we say amen, or at least in Texas. And in Spanish you say amen, but it's all the same. Hallelujah. All right. But what I also love this part, I lift your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. I want to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Do you still believe that God is great? And I'm not talking about the God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Amen. I'm talking about God is great. Do you believe that God still works miracles today? Amen. You see, I believe that we say that. We say that with our lips, but sometimes our lives tell us other things. The way that we walk tells other things. And I got to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm praying for a miracle for my man. Selfish as it may be, call me selfish. I love my man. I wanted to be the person. Well, he's a whole lot better than he was when I married him 25 years ago. Praise God. But I want him to be himself. And I believe that the Lord has told me that He wants to work a miracle in my husband's life. And I feel like, shame on you, Rebecca Jean, when you say, I believe that God is great. I believe that God works miracles, but I don't live my life like I really believe it. So that's free, and that doesn't have anything to do with the message tonight, but I hope that you would be encouraged. What are you believing God for tonight? What do you need to believe God for tonight? We say we believe that He works miracles. Do you believe that He's going to work a miracle for you? That's the question. Okay, now I'm going to start. God, thank You for this time. Lord, You get me all excited. You get me all worked up, and I thank You for that. Father, I thank You for every man and woman that's here tonight. I thank You for every young person that's on this campus tonight, for every child that's here tonight, for everything that's going on. Because, Lord, You're here. But, Father, I want to ask You, show us Your glory. Show us Your glory. Father, sometimes I go outside. I go outside my house at night, and I just cry out, God, would You just give me a peek beyond the veil? Would You just give me a peek? The way that when the servant told his master, the prophet, they're surrounding us. The bad guys are surrounding us, and the prophet simply prayed, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. Greater are those who are with us than those who are against us. Now, I know, Lord, I'm not saying that right, but you know what I mean. And the Lord opened the man's eyes, and he could see the army of the Lord encamped around him, chariots of fire. Bless Your holy name. It's more than the name of a movie. Amen. God, we want to see Your glory. And Lord, I also want to ask that tonight, for the one that has come here tonight, who is weary in the doing, who is weary in the doing, I pray that tonight, that man or that woman, that young person, would find rest in the simple truth of Your word that says that we are Your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I guess the Lord gave me that thing there at the outset because He knew that the actual message part wasn't long. But I say that a lot. Anytime the Lord gives me a message or Michael asks me to speak, and I kind of do it off the fly, feel like I'm doing it off the fly, and I say it's going to be short, it ain't never short. Somebody called me the other night. They said, Rebecca, we want you to come. We want you to speak at our church in December. on a Sunday night, by the way. Just took that away. But it's only 15 minutes. 15 minutes. It's kind of like when Sherry asked me to speak for our ladies' things. 12 to 15 minutes. I thought, I can't even say my name in 12 to 15 minutes. Okay, good. We're here. This is 1 John chapter 3. And I believe that the reason the Lord gave me this message was because of how tired I was yesterday. This is the truth, you guys. I came home, I laid on the couch, and I laid on the couch. And then I moved from the couch to the bed. And that was pretty much as good as it got for me that night. It was a good thing Michael can cook his own omelet. Because I was tired. And I hear that from people a lot. We are tired. We are weary. Because we do and we do and we go and we go and we press and we press and we press. And I don't know what it is in us that makes us do that, but I feel like especially as Christians, we may be even the most guilty of it. But I want to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is no need for the hurriedness of our lives. I don't believe that God designed us to live lives of exhaustion. There is a commercial, I think it's a cell phone commercial, talking about getting their new cell phone because it's faster. And it says, live at the speed of life. And of course, you know that that's a play on the words at the speed of light. God forbid that we live our lives like that. God forbid that I live my life like that. You know, Michael always says, I don't get to preach anything to you until I've preached it to me first. This message is for me tonight. And I just pray that it's a blessing for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Now this is the, I don't know what translation is that. Okay, that's good. Leave it there. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. And I think that what you've got here on the New American Standard is what I learned it as. But it says this in the NIV, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Everybody say the word lavished. Lavished. What idea do you get in your mind when you hear the word lavish? Yes. Luxury. Absolutely. This was luxury. Somebody else. Abundance. That's exactly right. When I think about lavish, and I think like of a bubble bath. To me, a bubble bath is lavish, you know, because I'm not in a hurry. I'm not going to take a bubble bath if I'm in a hurry, right? I'm going to take a bubble bath because I'm going to be there for a while. And if I'm lucky, I might get to take a nap there. Lavished. Abundance. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And then I love this little tag here. I looked this up in the King James Version, and this tag wasn't in the King James Version, but I like it. It says, and that is what we are. Woo! Exclamation mark. Now, when I was a little girl, we used to do this children's musical, and the main character in the musical was Salty. I don't know if y'all use Salty. P-S-A-L-T-Y. And one of the songs we learned was this. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. And I'll stop singing because that's enough. And then it says that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. And then we've got this great little tag here. And that is what we are. Now the first question we have to ask ourselves is, am I really a child of God? You see, because the rest of this message is for the children of God. If you're not one of His children, then this doesn't apply to you. Sorry, you gotta be in the fam. Amen? Amen. But, and the beauty is that we get to be called. We get to be called the children of God. Because of His great love. Because of His lavish love. Ladies and gentlemen, not because of anything we have done. but because of His great mercy, because of His grace, because of His lavish love, we get to be called the children of God. Now, I want us to look, because I want us to see exactly what it is that God has to say about His children. And one of the best examples of this is what God has to say about His Son. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open there, because I'm going to need your help with some of these sections here. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark. Let me get there. So if you're looking at a Bible and you're in Mark chapter 1, if I can get there, I should have used a bookmark. Raise your hand if your Bible has like subheadings inside of your chapter. Does anybody? Yours does? Okay. So, patience. Can you tell I'm a teacher? I'm sorry. You can take the teacher out of the classroom, but you cannot take the classroom out of the teacher. Patience. What is your very first little heading in that chapter? Okay. John the Baptist prepares the way. So that's John the Baptist, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare you the way for of the Lord. And then, who else? Donna, do you have one? Nope. Who has a chapter title? What does yours say? A next section. Yeah, the next section. The next subtitle in that chapter 1. Okay, the baptism of Jesus. Mine says the baptism and temptation of Jesus. Now, we get a lot, we get a better account, a longer account of the temptation of Jesus in the book of Matthew, okay? But I don't want to focus on that. I just want us to see. That's why I picked this passage out of the book of Mark. So we have John the Baptist prepares the way. That's like the first 8 verses. And then we have the baptism and temptation of Jesus. That's like verses 9 through 13. And then who's got another one? Does somebody have another subtitle? What you got, Daniel? Okay, the first disciples. Mine says the calling of the first disciples, okay? And then the next section, does anybody have one, another section in their scripture? Yes, Jesus drives out an evil spirit. So basically, can anybody tell me from these things that happen here in the first chapter of Mark, what are we looking at? Anybody? John the Baptist prepares the way. Jesus is baptized. He's tempted. He calls his first disciple. He drives out an evil spirit. And then he heals many is the next section. How far into Jesus' ministry are we, Adam, in Mark chapter 1? At the very beginning. We're at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. So I want you to read with me in Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. Verses 9 through 11, it says this: At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open. That's what I want to see. Heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And this is where we're going to focus tonight. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Now in Mark, in Matthew, this account says, the Lord says, This is my beloved Son. With him, I am well pleased. But I love it here in Mark because it's so personal. It's the Father talking to Jesus. Son! You are my Son, and I love you, and I am pleased with you. But you guys, what's Jesus done? Nothing yet. Nothing yet. He hasn't healed anybody. His time has not come. He hasn't started his public ministry. The only thing that he's done is take the first step of obedience in baptism. And what does the Father say? I love you, Son, and I am pleased with you. And he doesn't just say, I'm pleased with you. He says, I am well pleased with you. what I want to hear you, I want you to hear this tonight. If you are a son or a daughter of God, He says this to you tonight. You are my child, and I love you. Apart from anything that you do. You see, Jesus hasn't done anything great yet. Now, Jesus goes on to do great things, and Jesus goes on, hallelujah, to save the world, amen. And Jesus goes on to save the world through His death, through His burial, and through His resurrection. But God is pleased with Him from the beginning, just because He belongs to Him. And I believe, and especially on a Sunday night, you guys, especially on a Sunday night, because we're the doers. We're the doers. We come, and we're tired, because we've been doing all week. You know, I hear the scripture that rolls in my head, and I believe that this is so ingrained in me. It says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in the end you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. I think we've taken that to the extreme. And I want us tonight to find rest and to find hope and to find peace in just this statement. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I love you. And I am pleased with you. I'm not just pleased with you. I am well pleased with you. Because you're my baby. Period. I feel that way about my Erin. That kid, she gonna be the death of me. And Hal's laughing because he's got four kids, and he's probably thinking, I remember that one. Some of you can think, I remember that one. Or you can think, well, I got that one too. She just drives me crazy. You know why? Because she is so driven. She is so performance driven. And this isn't being recorded, is it? I hope not, because, you know, she wants to be in athletics and in band and in all honors courses, but it's not good enough to be in all of those things. She wants to be MVP. She wants to get band student of the year, and she wants to be the dadgum valedictorian. Now, how I ever did that to my child, I don't know, but I should be ashamed, and I should repent that I allowed her to put that kind of pressure on herself. But you know where she learned it? Guilty. You see, I think that so often we feel like, I heard a pastor say this the other day, we feel like Jesus came to save us so that we would be more responsible people. And I feel like as Christians that we really buy into that. That we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders because we are God's people and it's our responsibility to save the world. But let me take a little pressure off of you. God, Jesus beat you to the punch. And what I just want to tell somebody tonight is this. Just breathe in His love. As a matter of fact, and y'all are going to think this is corny, and I don't care, because I make my students do corny stuff all the time. I just want us to do this. I want us to take a minute. I want us to breathe in, and I want us to breathe out. Okay? Do that with me. Breathe in. Breathe out. I want you to take a breath in the Lord tonight. I want you just to rest in Him. There's a song. I've heard it on the radio quite a bit. Haven't always listened to the words, but I printed them off tonight. Because especially in the first verse it says, why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? You see, grace is a gift. Salvation is a gift. We don't do enough to get saved. we don't do enough to earn grace. We don't do enough to earn His mercy. They are all gifts out of His great love for us. Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? To where will you go? Tell me, where will you run? Where will you run? Look at these hands, Jesus says. Look at these hands at my side. They swallowed the grave on that night. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Can you say bless God for that? They swallowed the grave on that night. These hands, says Jesus to us, when I drank the world's sin so I could carry you in. Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? We don't walk into heaven. We don't even crawl into heaven. We are carried in to heaven and the arms of the Savior. So I could carry you in and give you life. And then it says this, I want to give you life. You know, the promise of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have what? Life, and have it abundantly, or more abundantly, or some translations say, to the full. And I think that we believe that abundant life looks like all of the things on our resume that we get to turn in at the end and say, look what I have done for you, O God. Wow, aren't I great? And Jesus says, what a waste of energy. Can't you just be in my presence? I love you simply because you are mine. See if I have a great way to get out of this. We work so hard, always striving to be more, do more, perform better. But it's not about performing at all. God's love for us is not based on anything we do. It is based entirely on the fact that we belong to Him. There's a quote that says, we must be a human being before we can be a human doing. And we are only a true, complete human being when we are complete in the Lord. There's a song. Friend, would you look up the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? And I just want us to sing the first verse and the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I want us to sing this tonight. And after we sing it, I'm going to pray. And we'll be done. But what I want to ask you is to leave. It's my prayer that as we go tonight, that we will leave in the blessed assurance of His love. And that tomorrow, in all of the busyness of our day, we will rest in Him. Because our Father loves us that much.